Hello, and welcome to Fairies and Folklore, generously supported by Heritage Music Studio Texas and the law firm of Kranjak, Tripodi, and Partners.
In the west of Ireland, there lies an unlucky lake in which many young men were at various times drowned. Several dreadful rumors circulated about the reasons for this, yet everyone agreed that what made the circumstance truly remarkable was that none of their bodies were ever found. Not far from this lake lived a poor farmer named Roderick Keating, who was soon to be married to one of the prettiest girls in that part of the country. Indeed, that very evening he had returned from Limerick, where he had purchased the wedding ring. He took it out so that he could admire it in the twilight and think of his love, when suddenly he slipped and the ring fell from his fingers and rolled into the lake. Now Roderick was a brave lad, and he knew what he must do. But it was not the chill of the water that sent a shiver down his spine as he passed the lake's edge. He knew better than most the stories of the treacherous waters, for they had claimed his playfellow, the eldest son of his mother's sister, many years ago. Down, down he went. To what depth, I know not. But after some time, the water began to recede, and not long after, he stepped down onto dry land. He looked about and saw a sky with birds singing, trees, and beautiful flowers, all as it is in our own world. He was, in fact, in a large garden, the most beautiful he had ever seen, lined with shrubs and paved with smooth stones, and in the center was a magnificent palace. Just as he was wondering who could live in such a place, he heard a melodious voice behind him.
"Greetings, traveler."
The voice was beautiful, and the woman it belonged to even more so. Roderick removed his hat.
"Good day, ma'am,"
he replied with a bow, for it was clear she came from the palace.
"What brings you to my gardens? It is not often I receive visitors."
Roderick explained that he had come to retrieve the wedding ring he had bought for his beloved.
"We have seen no rings down here," said the queen. "But the grounds are large. Perhaps you will find it tomorrow. But now it is late, and you must be tired. Why don't you come in to rest in the castle?"
Roderick was about to reply that he was not tired, and that he must find the ring and leave as quickly as possible, when suddenly his eyes grew very heavy, and he found he could hardly stand. So he agreed to rest a while in the castle.
"But only a short nap," he said, "and then I must go."
His host showed him to his room, and he fell asleep instantly. When he awoke, it was very late and dark outside.
"Fool that I am! I must find the ring and return home."
Quietly, he crept out of bed, not wishing to disturb anyone. Once outside, he began his search, but without success. Then he heard workers in the garden.
"Perhaps they have seen the ring."
Following the voices, he marveled at the gardens, for their beauty was unparalleled, and looked at the men, trying to decide who he should ask. He was about to speak to one who seemed to be in charge, when suddenly he let out a gasp and went white as a sheet.
"Patrick? Good heavens, Patrick O'Brien? Do you speak to me, stranger?"
the head gardener replied.
"Me, a stranger?"
cried Roderick.
"As if we did not grow up together, playing on my mother's knee, you, her sister's son. I mourned for you as a boy, but you've been gone 10 years this August."
"It cannot be," said Patrick, "for I've only been here a few days."
Roderick was greatly disturbed, and he went back to the castle full of questions for his hostess. He was certain it was his old playfellow. Deep in thought, he soon lost his way trying to get back to his room. Turning down a passageway, he heard a voice.
"It has been such a long time since I've had a visitor."
It was the queen.
"And he brought me a gift."
She laughed, a cold laugh that sent a chill to Roderick's heart.
As he snuck a glance around the corner, he caught sight of her, gazing admiringly in a mirror. And there, hanging round a beautifully wrought silver chain on her neck, was his ring. When he got back to his room, he could not sleep. He knew now that he was in a fairy palace, and that he would need all his wits about him if he wanted to return again to the mortal world. The next morning at breakfast, the queen asked if he had found his ring.
"No, your majesty."
He could see the chain around her neck, but the ring was hidden. "Perhaps you will have better luck today," she said with a smile, offering him food. But Roderick declined, for he knew if he ate fairy food, he would never see his bride again. That day, he searched the gardens, hoping to find his cousin again. But try as he may, he found no one. Discouraged, he went to bed early and tried to think how he could retrieve his ring. Suddenly, there was a soft tap at his door. As it creaked open, who should stand there but Patrick O'Brien?
"I must be quick,"
he said quietly.
"If you truly knew my mother, tell me, what did I bring her each year for her birthday?" "A posy of flowers. Wild-grown lily of the valley, for those were her favorite." "Then it is true,"
cried Patrick.
"Has it really been 10 years? "Aye, it has. But now you will escape with me. Only how are we to get my ring?" "For that, I have a plan," said Patrick.
The next night at dinner, Roderick pretended to drink the wine his hostess offered him, letting it instead run down his beard. The queen was delighted at this, for she now thought she had Roderick in her power. Secretly, however, Patrick had put a sleeping draught into the wine, and while the queen drank plenty to celebrate her success, she soon went to her rooms to retire for the night. Later, long after dark, Roderick went to the queen's bedchamber and quietly crept inside. There, next to the bed where the queen slept, his ring was sitting on its chain. Trying not to make a sound, he took it, holding his breath. He glanced to the bed to see that the queen was still sleeping and let out a startled cry. For no longer wearing his ring, the queen had returned to her true form. A hideous, withered old witch. He ran from the room, and his cry woke the witch. She let out a terrible scream when she saw the ring was gone, but Roderick did not stop until he had reached his friend in the gardens. The witch's cry woke the other gardeners, and as Roderick and Patrick ran, they were pursued. At last, they reached the point where the fairy shore met the lake, and Roderick began to swim with all his might for the surface. He glanced back to find his cousin and was horrified to see him still on the shore. Confused, Roderick swam back and tried desperately to pull Patrick into the water. But try as he might, he could not get even 1 foot of Patrick into the lake. The witch and the gardeners were getting closer. Thunder cracked and lightning lit the sky as the queen's wicked laugh resounded across the heavens.
"You fools! He has eaten the fairy food. He is mine. Now enough of this."
Her voice rang with the power of a trance as she spoke to Patrick.
"Bring him to me."
As if of their own accord, Patrick's arms clasped Roderick, and he began to bring his prisoner to the evil queen. Patrick screamed and strained, trying to fight the witch's power, but it was no use.
"A new worker will make my garden even more beautiful."
She cackled to her head gardener as they moved closer.
"I wonder, does he have your skill with the lily of the valley?"
Suddenly, Patrick stopped. Saying a quick prayer, he whispered to Roderick,
"Please, bring me home to my mother."
The next moment, the witch screamed and staggered backwards in shock, for Patrick had transformed into a beautiful lily of the valley. Roderick quickly ran for the lake with his friend in his grasp. The queen's henchmen pursued him, but, like Patrick, could not cross the water's edge. Enraged, the queen hurled all manner of horrible spells, but the lily of the valley protected him from them all. And so, Roderick returned safely home. The next day,
Roderick honored Patrick O'Brien's last request. And every year thereafter, he brought his aunt a lovely posy of Lily of the Valley for her birthday. The end.